I look forward to meeting a lot of people in heaven. Can you imagine as you're there walking down the streets of heaven, you walk up to this man and he introduces himself and he says to you, "My name is Joseph." What a great day that will be to be able to meet the great saints of the Old Testament days. And I believe that the life of Joseph is one of the most inspiring lives in all of the Old Testament. Joseph knew the depravity of the human heart, for he had experienced the jealousy of his brothers who sold him as a slave. He knew the lust and the rejection of the wife of Potiphar and how that she had lied about Joseph making advances toward her, and how that because of her lie, Joseph was cast into prison. While he was in prison, he met the chief butler and the chief baker who had offended Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had committed these two men to prison. The captain of the guard in the prison had given the care of the baker and the butler over to the young Hebrew captive, Joseph. While there, Joseph was able to interpret the dreams of the baker and the butler. There was a day that Joseph saw the great sadness in the hearts of the baker and butler. And as he began talking to them, he tried in some way to bring comfort unto their hearts. Joseph was kind-hearted. He was concerned about others. And at a time when Joseph himself needed the compassion and the sympathy of others, he was reaching out and he was encouraging those that he saw that were under great sorrow and stress. One of the great ways today that you and I may be able to deal with our problems is to try to reach out and to help others who are going through trials and difficulties. Joseph interpreted the dreams of the baker and butler. He told the baker that his dream meant, "You're going to be hanged. The birds are going to eat the flesh off your head." He told the butler, "Your dream meant you're going to be restored to your place of service once again in the house of Pharaoh." We can imagine the day comes that the baker and the butler are released from prison. And as Joseph stands with the baker and the butler, imagine the sad farewell of the baker as he knows the interpretation of his dream meant he only had a little while to live. The butler has a heart that is filled with joy and excitement because his dream meant he's going to be restored once again to his place of service unto Pharaoh. But the one thing that Joseph asks of the butler is this: when you get back and you're restored to your place of service, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember how I interpreted your dream. I want you to remember how that I showed to you compassion and concern. Joseph says farewell to the butler and the baker as they go out of the prison. But in the heart of Joseph, there is this hope. The butler is going to remember me. And he's going to tell Pharaoh what I've done. And maybe he's going to be able to share something with Pharaoh that will allow Pharaoh to free me from this prison. Days and weeks and months go by. No word from Pharaoh. Is it possible the butler has forgotten me? He doesn't remember what I've asked of him. The Bible reading that Brother Cox did a moment ago, the Bible says, yet the butler did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Those are the saddest words, I believe, in the human language. But he forgot him. Is it the heart of ingratitude, the heart of not being thankful for what others have done in our behalf, for the love and the goodness that we have seen from others, and how easy it is to forget what others have done to bless our lives? So for just a few moments in this week of Thanksgiving, this week where our hearts are going to be filled with gratitude, I want us to think about three different classes of people that we must never forget. First, we must never forget what our fathers and mothers mean to us, what they've done for us, how they've blessed our lives. One of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse number 12 says this: honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus picked up that great commandment in Matthew 15, where there he will remind again those who are listening to him, honor your father and mother. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. Brother B.C. Goodpasture was a wonderful gospel preacher many, many years ago. Editor of the Gospel Advocate. Great preacher of God's Word. In the older years of Brother Goodpasture, someone asked the aged Brother Goodpasture, how have you lived to be so old? To what do you ascribe the length of your life? And these were his words. I remember the Bible says, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. Brother Good Pastor said, I've tried to remember that verse, and I've tried to honor my father and mother, and as a result, God had blessed him with long life upon the earth. There are no perfect fathers and mothers. I know of no father and mother who have always made the right decision in everything relating to our children. But even though we as fathers and mothers are imperfect, children still have the debt of gratitude that they owe their parents. When you see an infant crying, and you watch the tender-hearted mother go and pick that child up in her arms and hold that child close to her, is it possible as that mother is soothing the pain and the suffering in that little child that her mind is going back and remembering the days that her own mother picked her up and her own mother cared for her in her childhood? She's able to go back and in that feeling of gratitude, in that thankful heart, she is able to honor her mother and her father, even by the way that she cares for her own children, or may I say, even grandchildren. The following tribute was written to the aged nurse of Robert Louis Stevenson. I believe it's applicable to all mothers who have given so much unto their children. Here are the words of the beautiful poem. For the long nights you lay awake and watched for my unworthy sake, for your most comfortable hand that led me through uneven land, for all the storybooks you read, for all the pains you comforted, for all you pitied, all you bore, in sad and happy days of yore. My second mother, my first wife, from the sick child now well and old, take, nurse, the little book you hold. Wouldn't it be a great thing today if every son and daughter would so honor and remember all of the years of service and sacrifice of those godly mothers and fathers who mean so much to us today. And I believe one of the ugliest attitudes that a young person, a child, may ever express is an attitude of ingratitude, an attitude of an unthankful heart for what those who are fathers and mothers have done and they mean to us. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 8, if any provide not for his own, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Shakespeare, sound of the depths of sorrow of man, when in a scene of King Lear, the aged king and father was cast out by his unnatural daughters. He wanders in the darkness of night, feeling wind and rain and hearing thunder, which accompanied lightning, shut out by his own daughters, who should have loved and cared for their father, honoring father and mother. There was an old mother poor and ragged. Her back was bent. Her hands were rough and gnarled. Her face was wrinkled and worn with the many years of toil and work and labor for her son. She wanted the best for her boy as he was growing up. She wanted him to have what she didn't have. So she went to work scrubbing floors to put her son through college. The son graduated, and he became a successful businessman. But it never would have happened without the sacrifice and service and work of that mother. The day came when the aged mother went to visit her son. She was so proud of him, what he had become, the work that he was doing, the success he had made of his life. But as she approached, all bent and wrinkled and ragged because she had done without and sacrificed for her son, the son became embarrassed of her. And he asked her to leave because he didn't want others to know, "This is my mother." Can you imagine the pain filling the heart of that mother because of an ungrateful son? He forgot, as did the butler, all the good his mother had done for him, the love that he had shown, she had shown to him. And in the prime of his life, the success he was enjoying, he forgot the work and sacrifice and the honor that should have been given under that devoted, dedicated mother. Oh, may God help us never to forget those who in our family mean so much to us. In the second place, there's ingratitude that is sometimes expressed to friends and those who help us. Do you remember in the book of Luke chapter 17, there's a sad account where there are lepers that see Jesus coming in a town and they cry out for the Lord to heal them. "Master, help us." And Jesus, as these lepers walk away from him, 10 of them, and as they're walking away, they begin to observe their body is healed of leprosy. And the joy that ought to have been in their hearts, because now they are free of this terrible disease. And the Bible says that these men walk away. They get down the road and one of them remembers who it was that they had asked for healing of him. And that one man walked back. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. And he said to Jesus, as he fell down before him, "Thank you. Thank you for healing me." When others do good for us, is there gratitude in our hearts? Do we say to them, "Thank you for being such a blessing to my life"? Oh, I believe it's much easier to remember the little slights and the little injuries that others do, what they say or how they act to hurt us. But it's hard to remember those little small acts of kindness that we receive from the hands of others. King David knew the bitterness of ingratitude of friends. He could imagine he would write in Psalm chapter 55, verses 12 and 13. He could imagine what enemies would do, how they would reach out and harm him, or how they would turn away from him. But David said, I don't understand how it is that a friend can forget me. Can a friend do something to hurt me? And the picture that we remember of our Lord is how that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 41, verse 9, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And about whom is that verse speaking? And we understand that Jesus will say in John 13, verse 18, that the one, my friend, who has now eaten bread with me has lifted up his heel against me, is referring to none other than one of Jesus' own 12 apostles. One of the men who should have been his closest friend, but this friend betrays him. And the friend that should have been the one that would have even died for him was the one who betrays the master into the hands of the enemy. Have you ever had a friend betray you? A friend that should have been grateful for what you have done in their life. And probably all of us have had that experience of a friend forgetting what we should mean to them because of our love for them. You read Romans chapter 16, and time will not allow me to do that this morning, but go home today and read out of Romans the 16th chapter. And there I want you to notice all of the men and women that Paul remembers. Paul did not forget what these men and women did in blessing his life. And Paul saw them as special friends. He would not forget the work and the labor they all shared together and how they supported Paul, how they encouraged him in his great work. It is said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, of a man by the name of Onesiphorus, that he was one of Paul's dearest friends. The Bible says that Paul remembered how that Onesiphorus often refreshed him. You've got friends like that, don't you? Friends that refresh your spirit, that encourage your heart. And may we never forget those friends and those who have been benefactors towards us, those who have done so much to make our lives what they are today. How that they have always been there when we needed them. And you could pick that phone up and you could call them and you knew they would be there. And when you lose that friend to death, you lose that friend maybe as they move away. You know, the wonderful joy and blessing and what it meant to have that person in your life. I want you to notice a man that is hanging upon a wall, his body nailed to a wall by the enemy, the Philistines. And that body there dead, hanging, lifeless. And there are some people from Jabesh Gilead who hear that there's a man hanging on the wall in Bethshan. We've got to do something. Because this man, when we were in need, he helped us against the enemy. He came and he fought for us and with us and helped us to conquer our enemy. The people of Bethshan, or rather Jabesh Gilead, go to Bethshan and they take the body of this man from the wall. And they burn the body and they bury his bones. Do you know why the people of Jabesh Gilead did that? For that one hanging upon a wall in death. It was because they remembered the act of kindness, the gratitude in their hearts for what that man with his army had done to give them victory in the war. They never forgot what King Saul had done. And in a heart of gratitude, they will make their way to where the man is hanging on that wall in death. And they want to show from their hearts of gratitude what they remembered. And they would never forget what King Saul had done in their behalf. Can you and I think of someone, even this very week, who has helped us? Someone who has strengthened us, guided us? Someone who has supported us when we were weak? Someone who warned us when we were tempted? Someone who lifted us when we were falling. Why not crown your life with a beauty of gratitude, never forgetting the friends and those who have helped us? Finally, there's also that ingratitude towards God, towards not remembering what God has done in our life. All ingratitude is a sin against God. Romans 1:21. The Bible there describes the people in the Gentile world. Although they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, nor were they thankful. There was no expression of deep gratitude for God and for all of God's blessings. Psalm 106 verse 13, the Bible says, they soon forgot His works. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. And Jehovah warns the people of Israel, now when you go into the land of promise and you begin to eat of all the fruit trees that you did not plant, and you live in the houses that you did not build, and your table is filled with food, you have all of these blessings. I want you to remember, God said to Israel, that you do not forget. It is I who have given you all that you're going to enjoy, all that you're going to be blessed with when you go into the promised land. When we sit down this week and our tables are full, when our stomachs are full, when our houses are warm, when clothing is upon our backs, and all of the blessings that we remember, we enjoy and we experience in this Thanksgiving season, may we never forget the source of all the blessings that we receive out of the hand of a great, gracious, good God. It is because of Him and what He is giving us, our nation today, as it was first established many, many years ago in this nation of ours. Thanksgiving Day is a time to say thank you to God, remembering all that God does for us. A popular lecturer in the last quarter of the 19th century had a lecture on sunshine, and he gave that lecture all over the country. He arrived at a city where he was to give the lecture. He was passing through a station with a member of the lecture committee who had met him. He saw a stranger that was on a stretcher being carried by, and as the man lay on the stretcher, paralyzed, the man giving the lecture paused. He looked at the man on the stretcher and he said to the young man who had met him, "Whenever I see anything like that, I say to myself, every missed misery is a new blessing." What misery have we missed? Can we say in our hearts to God, it's a new blessing for which I am so thankful? You might know the story of Robinson Crusoe. He was wrecked on a lonely island, and he drew up two columns in which he called the evil and the good. And he set over against the evil the good and began to enumerate all the good things in contrast to the evil. As he began to write from the desolate island, he said this, "I'm cast on a desolate island, but I'm alive. I didn't drown, as were all of my ship's company. He was divided from mankind, banished from the human race, but he was not starving. He had clothes, no clothes, but with no clothes, the climate was so hot that he did not need them. He was out without means of defense, but he saw no wild beasts as he had seen on the coast of Africa. He had not a soul to speak to, but God had sent the ship so near the shore that he could get from it all the necessary things for his needs. Thus, he concluded, there is no condition in the world so miserable, but that there was something negative or positive to be thankful for." Paul says, in everything, give thanks. In every situation, we might find something for which to thank God that He has given to us. Things that might be negative, things that might be positive, things that God has blessed us with, that He has shared His love and His grace and His mercy. David, old King David, described as a man after God's own heart. It's because of his recognition of sin, his repentance of sin, his confession and seeking God when he sinned. But I believe that David is also remembered as a man after God's own heart because in his hour of victory, after all of his trials he endured with King Saul, he became king. But he did not celebrate the victory by taking vengeance on the family of Saul. But rather he wanted in some way to find someone in Saul's family, someone in Jonathan who was Saul's son. What can I do? Who can I find to show the kindness of God unto this person in the family of Saul? Thinking of Saul's son, Jonathan, David's friend that he loved and had protected him against Saul during his murderous attacks that Saul was bringing against David. David learned that there was a lame son of Jonathan who was still alive. His name was Mephibosheth. David sent for Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, this lame son. And David showed kindness to Jonathan's son. David never forgot. He remembered the kindness of someone else who had expressed the love of God for David and had protected him when he was at the lowest ebb and when his faith in God was shaken. Jonathan came to him. Jonathan strengthened him. Jonathan was the gift of God's love as a friend. And David did not forget what God did through Jonathan. And he showed his love to Jonathan's lame son, and Mephibosheth ate at the king's table. Today, as we close, and as we think about this wonderful week, this wonderful day on Thursday, as was said a moment ago, let us make every day a day of thanksgiving. Honor our father and mother. Treasure our friends and those who help us. Never forget the God who's done so much for us in our lives. Paul was good with words. He wrote many beautiful things in his letters by inspiration. But it seems that as Paul comes down to the close of those two great chapters about giving, he writes in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, "But thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." And that's all Paul could really say of all that God had done in blessing his life with the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. The way you can show your gratitude today, serve Him. If you're not a Christian, become one today. Be baptized into Christ for your sins to be washed away in His blood. Or if you need the prayers of this Christian family here at Lake Hills, the invitation is yours.